Thank you, Helen, and thank you to our three readers today. Our Easter readings. Can I start with a question? What are you most afraid of? Because we all live with fears of one kind or another, don't we? What's the worst thing that could possibly happen to you? Your nightmares in the middle of the night and so on. What are you afraid of? And now, remember that Jesus is risen. He's alive and he's with you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's promised you salvation. He's promised you heaven. He's promised you resurrection to eternal life on the last day. Now, does that change how you view life? Your problems, your fears, the things that you're scared of? In the Old Testament, in the psalm that Joe read to us, the Jews had to remind themselves that the Lord, their God, is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the most powerful God around. Their God was the greatest. All the other nations had their own little gods, you know, perhaps a statue or whatever, or the god of a particular place. But the Jews were aware that their God was the Almighty, the sovereign God. And that if they keep his commandments, if they hold to his covenant, if they stick to the agreement that they made with him, then he will defend them. He will fight for them. All will go well. But, of course, there was a downside too. If they disobey him, if they anger him, then they've actually angered the most powerful God around. That's a bad plan. Jesus' disciples in the New Testament believed that he was the longed-for Messiah, the one who all their history for thousands of years had been building up to, the rescuer, the saviour that God sent from heaven. They believed that Jesus, their rabbi, their teacher, he was the one who was going to rescue all of Israel. And then, as you know, Jesus died on the cross, was crucified horribly by the Romans. And they must have been massively disappointed by that, mustn't they? Their whole world must have fallen apart as they stood at the foot of the cross and watched Jesus die in agony. They went into hiding. They were in fear for their lives at that point. And then his body vanished. The tomb was empty. And they didn't understand why. And then they heard reports that people had seen him again, that they'd met him on the road, that he'd come into the upper room and so on. And they began to wonder, could this be true? That he's alive again? Not just resuscitated, brought back from death on the operating table, but somehow that he had conquered death itself. Not feeling a bit peaky afterwards because he'd been through all kinds of injuries and so on. But somehow that he'd smashed through death into immortal life forever. They began to grasp that he was not only very physical, that he could eat fish and they could touch him and so on, but also able to move between heaven and earth, to appear and disappear in different places at will. Amazing. Like some superhero or something. That changes everything. And then, of course, Jesus left them and sent the Holy Spirit in power. The Spirit came and gave them power to witness, courage to speak about Jesus in front of huge crowds on the day of Pentecost and afterwards. And so, in our second reading from Acts that Julie read to us, we hear about them getting arrested for speaking about Jesus, held up before the Jewish council. Why are you doing this? We told you not to teach about Jesus. They should be scared and intimidated, shouldn't they? They're humble fishermen. They haven't had an education or anything. And these are the aristocrats. These are the powerful men, those in charge of Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit gives them simple boldness to speak. And they realize, sitting in front of this council, they realize that they know somebody even more powerful than these men sitting in front of them. They know God himself. And so their simple answer is, we must obey God rather than men. Should we obey you, or should we obey God? The answer is obvious, isn't it? It's a top answer, that. Remember it. Perhaps when you're doing God's will and somebody tries to stop you, somebody says, that's not allowed, that's forbidden, then you say, well, should I obey men or God? Should I obey you or the creator of heaven and earth? We must obey God rather than men. Perhaps some of your fears are around being embarrassed or being, I don't know, told off or arrested or illegal or something like that. We must obey God rather than men. And then our third reading that Keith read to us. In case we're in any doubt who is in charge, John is given this great vision of Jesus Christ, which John recorded in the book of Revelation, the last book of our Bibles. And it's a glimpse into heaven. It's as if the curtains have been drawn back and you can see what's really going on. It's actually written especially for Christians who are being persecuted, Christians who are in fear of their lives. Maybe you've read about people in those situations in the past week or two, people being put to death for their faith in Christ. Revelation was written for people like that, because it was written basically to say, do you know who's in charge? You may think it's the policeman or the army or the politicians or whoever it is who's arrested you. You may think it's them. It may look like them, but you know who's really in charge. Let's pull back the curtains and look. It's our Lord himself. A glimpse into heaven to encourage people who are being threatened for their very lives. And Revelation says, look, even if you're killed, Jesus is waiting to welcome you. And he is sovereign. And you're on the winning side. So don't fear. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Let me just come back again to that question at the beginning. What is there that you are most afraid of? What's the worst thing that could possibly happen? Now remember, Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. He's with you by his Holy Spirit. And he's promised you salvation, heaven, resurrection on the last day, eternal life. Does that, I wonder, does that change how you view this life? Does that change how you view your problems, your fears? the Lord is sovereign. Amen.